Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. My name is Matt Vitros, and I am your host. Today is October 3rd, 2015, and we're going to be here live for the next 58 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be a participant in this program, the phone number to the studio here at the KTM Studios is 254-773-1400. That's 254-773-1400. If you've got some ideas, thoughts, comments, or questions pertaining to the stuff we're going to be talking about today, feel free to give us a call. Try to get in. We'll answer your question if we can. 254-773-1400. Or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. That's Aarons, A-A-R-O-N-S, gunshop.com. And that's the website. The email address, again, is aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm fired up today. And I'll tell you why. You probably heard it all through the news about the shooting in Oregon. And I've got an article here that I want to read. And it irritates me to hear all you negative people about guns, people who are anti-gun. Well, you need to just wake up and smell the coffee. Let's talk about this article here. We've got college evacuated gunmen among the dead. I'm reading on yesterday's article here, so if there's updates, I haven't got to them yet, but here we go. I'm going to read part of the article. A gunman opened fire at the Oregon Community College Thursday, killing at least 9 people before dying during a shootout with police, the authorities said. The Oregon Attorney General, Ellen Rosenblum, said 13 people were dead after the shooting at the community college in Rosenberg, about 180 miles south of Portland. It was not immediately clear whether the number also included the 20-year-old gunman. State Police Lieutenant Bill Fugate told KATU-TV that at least 20 others were hurt. A government official said the gunman was identified as 26-year-old Chris Harper Mercer. Officials said they do not yet know the motive. Now, check this out. One student said the gunman asked people about their religion before spraying bullets. Courtney Moore told the Rosenberg News Review's newspaper that she was in a writing class when a shot came through the window. The gunman entered the classroom and told people to get on the ground. The man started asking people to stand up and state their religion and open fire. Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot harp enough that if you put people in a place where there's no guns, that's the most dangerous place to be. That is why we have open carry coming up in 2016, and you're going to have campus carry. Thank goodness somebody's got some common sense. So for people saying guns are dangerous, you're not going to get rid of the gun. It's the person who handles the gun. So until we get rid of those crazy people, we need to be able to defend ourselves with firearms. So you need to go get yourself a firearm and learn how to use it properly and become effective and efficient with it, not only with your physical being and the gun itself, but with your mindset and philosophy as to how to handle the gun. So we have classes and courses all set up for that. You need to give us a call. Go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Check it out. But for you to tell me, for the people, and you know who I'm talking to, for the people to tell me guns are bad, well, you just don't see the whole picture. The guns aren't going away. You better figure it out, and you better get prepared for it. Now, we're going to move on to some highlights because we got an action-packed show here. And plus, today, everybody, we're streaming live. So if you want to check it out, what's going on in the studio right now, right here and now, go to the KTEM website and listen live and see my ugly mug on the camera there. But today, in my CHL segment, we'll be going over reciprocity and what it means and which states we have it with. My new segment, the NRA's Armed Citizen, I'm going to be reading and giving you some commentary as to what we can glean from those stories that I'm going to be reading to you today. In our PEP section, I will review our home and self-defense training seminars and possibly have a conversation with one of my former students right here in the studio. And this is basically what I was telling you about that story I just read. These training seminars go over things like this. Our product spotlights will be from Sentex Tactical Gear and Blackjack Firearms, covering first aid supplies and AR magazines. I'll be explaining the term indexing when it comes to a handgun and how to actually do it and why it's so important. Now, early on in this program, weeks ago, I think I touched on indexing, but I didn't do it as good as I could have or as thorough, and I've had people asking me, and we did mag changes last week, so I want to go over it in depth again this week. And finally, in our topic of interest segment, I will go over all the exciting events going to be taking place next week at the gun show being held at the Bell County Expo Center. So you don't want to miss that weekend, okay? It's a very important weekend, and we'll be talking about that in the next half hour. And of course, as always, you're going to get commentary from me, your host, all throughout the program. So right now, we're going to get started, and so let's get started. And we're going to go right into the CHL segment of the program, and we were talking about reciprocity. First of all, I get asked this all the time. What is reciprocity? What states can I go to with my CHL? If I do go to another state, is there anything I need to know? Now, these are all great questions, and they all have easy answers. But first, what does reciprocity really mean? Now, for those of you who know me and have been listening to this show, you know I'm keen on definitions. So, what is the definition of reciprocity? Here we go. Reciprocity. The practice of exchanging things with others for mutual benefits, especially privileges granted by one country or organization to another. Now, in this case, of course, we're going to be talking one state to another state, not countries or anything like that. It would be one state to another state. Okay, so that answers the first question. What is reciprocity? The practice of exchanging things with others for mutual benefits, especially privileges granted by one country or an organization to another. So, before we go any further, let me read to you from the student handbook this section on reciprocity agreements, and then we'll proceed to answer the next two questions. So I go over here to my book, my student handbook, and we're going to talk reciprocal agreements. Get your pencils and paper ready. Here we go. The governor will negotiate an agreement with any state that provides for the issuance of a license to carry a concealed handgun under which a license issued by the other state is recognized in this state, or shall issue a proclamation that a license issued by the other state is recognized in the state if the Attorney General of the state of Texas determines that the background check of each applicant for a license issued by that state is initiated by the state or local authorities, or an agreement of that state or local authorities before the license is issued. That is typical legalese. I don't think they know how to put punctuation in that sentence. That was a mile-long sentence. But let me continue on. For the purposes of this subsection, background check means a search of the National Crime Information Center database and the Interstate Identification Index maintained by the FBI. Next paragraph. Reciprocity allows Texas license holders to carry in states with which we have reciprocity agreements using a Texas license. The Texas license holder must follow the laws of the reciprocal state when in that state. Paragraph 3. A proclamation recognizing a license issued by another state only allows those out-of-state license holders to carry in Texas. Currently, 9 states that have been granted unilateral proclamation by the governor of Texas recognizing their concealed handgun licenses in Texas. Those states do not recognize the Texas CHL. Therefore, a Texas CHL holder may not carry in those states. California, Connecticut, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Washington State. Now, before carrying in another state, Texas license holders should make sure there is a reciprocity agreement or that state recognizes a Texas license. At the current time, we have reciprocity with 35 other states. Now, what I'm going to do is, first of all, let's answer question number 2, since we've read it out of the handbook here. And question number 2 is, what states can I go to with my CHL? Well, we just read what it's all about. So now the second question, where can I go? I've got a list here that I took off the Texas Concealed Handgun Instructors Association website that lists all the states and the dates that they allowed reciprocity. So I'm going to read down it pretty quick. And so in case you're going to take a trip to one of these states, you'll know if you can go or not. There are 35, and I'll read them quickly. Alabama was in 2006, Alaska in 2005, Arizona in 99, Arkansas in 98, Colorado in 2004, Delaware in 2005, Florida in 2000, Georgia in 2004, Idaho in 2004, Iowa in 2011, Indiana in 2005, Kansas 2007, Kentucky 2000, Louisiana 98, Michigan 2005, Mississippi 2004, Missouri in 2005, Montana 2004, Nebraska 2009, New Mexico 2005, North Carolina 2004, North Dakota 2005, Ohio 2015, Oklahoma 98, Pennsylvania 2005, South Carolina 2005, South Dakota 2005, Tennessee in 2000, Texas, of course. God bless Texas. Utah 2004, Vermont does not require a license to carry. Virginia 2005, West Virginia 2012, Wisconsin 2015, and finally Wyoming in 2002. So there are your 35 states. Now finally, what do we need to know if we go to any one of these states that have reciprocity? What do we need to know? And here's the answer. I have no clue. I have no idea what you need to know in that state. So what I do is I go to the state's website and look up their gun laws. Now, if you go to the Texas Concealed Handgun Instructors Association website and look up CHL reciprocity, you're going to see that list of 35 states that I just read out to you. And after each state will be a link to that state's laws pertaining to concealed carry. So before you go to the state, although you have the permission to go to the state with a concealed weapon, you must abide by the way they do their concealed carry. I'll give you a really quick example, and I don't know if this is 100% right, but it'll give you an idea of what I'm talking about. I think it's the state of Ohio. If you get pulled over by a police officer, I believe they said you have 60 seconds to let the officer know you're licensed to carry concealed. Otherwise, it's some type of misdemeanor. Okay? So maybe we don't know that. Maybe in the course of a conversation with a Texas trooper, we're spending 2 minutes talking before he even asked for your ID. And upon asking for ID, you would tell him you've got a license to carry. So there's all these little differences in the laws that you need to be aware of. Okay? So read their laws, and when it comes to carrying concealed, I highly advise you to go to that state that you're going to and look up their concealed weapons law. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on. We're going to move on to a new section. It's not really new to everybody. It's been in the NRA American Rifleman for years. However, I'm going to touch on it now because I think we can utilize the information given in that magazine to help with kind of the training that I do here. So everyone, it's a new section, and I'm going to read from and glean from the information that make it helpful to you. The stories are out of the NRA's American Rifleman magazine, and if you're not a member of the NRA, you should become one. The more numbers they have, the better when it comes to helping with our gun rights. Okay, once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call the studio, it's 254-773-1400, and don't forget we're streaming live right now, so you can get a look at my ugly mug live as we do this story. So I've got three stories, and if time permits, I'm going to read all three and give you commentary on them. Now, the first one here, this one is from September 2015 from the American Rifleman. And I read, in Canton, Massachusetts, a husband shot and killed a rabid fox that had been attacking a pregnant woman and an 8-year-old child. Joanna Martin was in the backyard of her home in Canton when she saw a fox crawl under the fence. Not long after, she told a local television reporter she heard a little boy screaming. Apparently, the fox had knocked the child down and was on top of the boy. Martin approached and started kicking the fox to get him off the boy. Her husband heard the commotion and came out to help. At first, it seemed the kicking the fox had subdued the animal, but it regrouped and started charging at the people. That's when Richard Martin shot it 3 times. Tests showed the fox was rabid. The woman who was bitten on the ankle and the boy who had invisible bite marks are undergoing rabies treatment. That was from Fox 25, Boston, Mass, and 5 of 15. Now, the comment I want to make here is, this shows that there truly is a concern when taking a Boy Scout hike with your son. Did you all catch that, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm applying? We have C.J. Grisham out there walking down the road worried about hogs and maybe rabid foxes. Mm-hmm. Valid point with the legal right to carry his rifle in the open. I know I'm going to get a lot of comments on that one. So that goes to open carry. Let's go to number two. This one here is from August 2015. American Rifleman. A repeat offender was committing a repeat offender won't be committing any more crimes. A Tennessee homeowner fatally shot a man who was climbing through the home's front window. The resident was awakened by a thud in the middle of the night. He responded by chambering around in his Glock and going to investigate. When he saw the intruder at the window, he fired once, striking the miscreant in the head. And the homeowner called 911, but the suspect died before authorities arrived. The investigation revealed that the criminal had first tried to kick in the door, accounting for the noise that woke up the resident. The dead man had a criminal history that included multiple aggravated burglaries. And that's from the Knoxville News Sentinel, Knoxville, Tennessee, from 5 of 15. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've got one problem with the story. Fantastic story. Way to go, guy, to protect your home. But I got one problem with the story, which enables us to give a learning lesson here in our classes. The Glock did not have a round in the chamber. Let me read that sentence in the story. He responded by chambering a round in his Glock and going to investigate. The Glock did not have a round in the chamber. Ladies and gentlemen, that's like having a spare tire in your car, and it doesn't have air in it, so that when you get a flat tire, you take the spare tire out and then go walk to the 7-Eleven or whatever gas station's around, fill up the spare tire, and then come back to fix your flat. There's no time for that. Having a weapon with nothing in the chamber is like having a spare tire with no air in it. It's worthless. The other thing is, racking the slide and chambering around into the gun gives away your position. Some people would argue, well, now that the person knows that you're there with a gun, they may flee. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not giving up my position. So the gun's at the ready with one in the chamber. So that's what I learned from that story, and I hope you learned it too. All right, story number three. We're going to run with it here. This is from July 2015. I like this story. Quick thinking helped a husband and a wife survive a home invasion in Oklahoma. Three armed men entered the couple's home through a sliding glass door. They made the woman lie on the floor in one room and tried to force her husband to likewise lie in another room. That was me, no way. But he complained that an old injury made getting to the floor unassisted difficult. While the male homeowner was using furniture to help himself to the floor, he grabbed the .357 Magnum revolver he kept by the coffee table and came up firing, hitting one of the intruders in the hand. Marshall County Undersheriff Deputy Danny Cryer later said that the man's wife got involved at that point. She initially grabbed and fired the gun the injured intruder had dropped, but later used her own to shoot a second interloper near the collarbone. The three strangers then fled the home and joined their wheelmen. Deputies later that day detained all four suspects. They faced an array of charges, including robbery, assault, and dangerous weapon. Cryer said the homeowners who were not injured did exactly what they needed to do, and that was from the Madrid Record in Madrid, Oklahoma. Ladies and gentlemen, this is fantastic. Let me tell you why. The woman got involved. And this goes down to all you people who are criticizing, and you know who you are, and I say this in a fun way, in the sense that, no, I'm just going to master my gun because they'll never get to me and I'll never have to use another gun. Well, listen, these guys got robbed unexpectedly. They got put in separate rooms. The woman picks up the robber's gun, a gun she's probably not shot before, but was able to handle it, manipulate it, and use it, and then get to use her own gun. What we train in our seminars are round robins. I teach you how to use everybody's gun. I teach you the common thread in all different guns so that, God forbid, if a situation like we just read happens and you have to pick up the bad guy's gun, there's no, how do I work this? Is it loaded? Which way do I do this? Or which way do I do that? You have the basic common thread knowledge, and you've had the practice through one of my seminars to understand how to manipulate different types of firearms. So I think this is a perfect segue that we're going to go into our next program. But what we're going to do, I'm going to done reading these articles here, but we're going to take a quick 1-minute break, and when we come back, we're going to go over into our PEP segment, and we're going to be talking about our ladies only and our co-ed seminars that train these types of things. So we'll see you on the other side in another minute. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm Matt, your host. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, if you just came in, we're streaming live. Go ahead to the K10 website, check us out. You get to hear and see what's going on as it happens. I just got a call from the other segment we just did concerning reciprocity, and a caller just gave this information. I haven't had time to verify it, but I don't see why it wouldn't be true, but all I'm saying is go check it out. If Indian tribal lands have their own laws regarding concealed carry as well, so even if you're in a state that does have reciprocity and you end up going into a situation like that, you might want to check that out. So that was pretty good information. Thank you for whoever brought that in. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you want to make contact with the show, like this individual did, you can call us up here at the K10 Studios at 254-773-1400. You can give us an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or you can just go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com, and check out all that we have to offer. Now, as we go on, we're going to move into our PEP section. In our PEP section, we're going to be talking about our home and self-defense training seminars. We're going to talk about the classes. I want to read to you the flyers that I have here. If you can see them, if you're viewing me right now, I've got flyers with all sorts of information. We're going to go over them one by one and talk about them. And then I'm going to be talking with a prior student. He's going to give me some commentary, some testimonial, and give me some insight as to the blood rush, the adrenaline rush that he got when he was going through the course. But how it all started was, I'm a certified instructor for the state of Texas to teach concealed carry. And it used to be up to 15 hours a class, then it was 10 hours a class. And now they changed it down to where it's a 4-hour class mandatory. And I have 2 extra hours, one of which is done for shooting, and an extra hour, I guess, for whatever. But we have to cram in what I'm teaching in a 10-hour class into a 4-hour class. And like, how do you do that? It's almost where you get somebody prepared just enough for failure. So as I was training, I'm seeing the eyeballs roll and cross over because, like, this is information overload. They can't comprehend all the information that I'm giving to them. I've got to do dramatics. I've got to give examples in a dramatic way so it sticks with the people. Certain laws that are absolutely vital. I read through other things that are very quick, but other things I have to slow down and do dramatization so it'll stick. And with that, and understanding that need of more information and experience, I've come up and developed seminars based on all past experiences and and things that I see that are failing with people in their training. And we've come up with the HICAP Adventures Home and Self-Defense Training Seminar. But there's two of them. One is a co-ed class, obviously guy and gal. But then we have also the ladies only. And let me tell you something, ladies. The ladies who take these classes, they have a fantastic time. The guys aren't there. They let their hair down. They're a clean slate, and they're very quick learners. It's incredible. When they start the day at 6 in the morning or 8 in the morning and leave at 6 in the evening, they're like, whoa, and I can see a major improvement. But what I'm going to do right now, I just want to read over, I want to read over what we teach in the co-ed seminar, because the only difference between the co-ed and the ladies only is minus two or three things, which are just touched on in the co-ed class. So let me read to you, and then we'll go back over a couple of points and talk about it. First and foremost is mindset and philosophy. Vital, absolutely vital. Then gun safety and handling. We talk about reloads, and if you were here with me last week, we talked about emergency and tactical reloads. Well, we'll be doing the same here, except we've got admin, empty, and tactical. And we'll explain that later too. Weak hand reloads. People have a tendency to think they're always going to have their strong arm available. So we're going to do weak hand reloads. Point shooting. Big one here. I'll save the thunder till later. Drawing from concealment. Handgun round robins. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud of this one because I have not heard this done before with other people. They may do it, but I'm a major promoter of round robins. I have pistol competitions for round robins, which we have on the this upcoming Friday, the 9th. We'll talk about that later too. Weak hand shooting. Not just weak hand reloads, but weak hand shooting. Room clearing. We talk about law enforcement aspects before and after the shot. A lot of people in this class love this section. They get behind-the-scene insight as to what's going on. Kind of helps them out, soothes them in the thought process of how things work. We have student scenarios. Somebody might give us a suggestion of, hey, this happened to me. What should I have done? And we'll practice those. We do lots of live-fire shooting drills. We touch on knives, light and laser training, hand and arm signals. Hand and arm signals, why would you do that? Well, there's a good reason for it. And then special equipment, nice-to-haves. So let me piecemeal here or pick a couple things out real quick. The one I want to talk about primarily is mindset. Mindset is so vital when you take this class. I had a class and I had a student drive another student to the class, just going to wait, not participate in the class. After she heard what I spoke of at the first thing, the opening bell, is that how they say it? And she heard my concept of mindset, she goes, wow, you're for real, you're serious. She was hesitant to take the class because she thought it was just going to be another waste of money for a class that didn't get her all that she needed to know. I don't play games, ladies and gentlemen. There's no fluff in the show. There's no fluff in the training. So she ended up taking the class. So mindset, I basically say if the student is ready, then the teacher appears. And this teacher here has got a lot of experience, and he's willing to download it to you so that you can use it for yourself. So mindset and philosophy are very important. Point shooting. Point shooting is a big one because people come into the class doing CHL and they're so worried about getting the bullseye on the target. It's a pass or fail test. You either pass or you fail. There's no shot group accounting for. It's like, hey, you got a wide group or a small group. It doesn't matter. So they're trying to focus in and spend the time on marksmanship shooting. Now, marksmanship techniques are very important when it comes to point shooting. But you're not point shooting in the classes that I'm teaching. You're teaching self-defense, very fast, very close proximity. You do not have time to aim your weapon. It's point shooting. We teach that to an extreme, and people get very good at it. I literally can teach people within 50 rounds how to point shoot, and they become very proficient, and it almost becomes a preferred choice of shooting. Now, of course, if you get to a certain distance, you want to start aiming for better accuracy. Room clearing is very important too, because it's said here in the title, home and self-defense training seminars. What if somebody breaks into your house and you've got to go to where your children are and you don't know where the individual is in the house? Well, there's certain things and techniques that you have to do when going down hallways, through doorways, and turning corners. And we're going to have Jeff come on soon. He's going to give me a first-hand experience of what it's like to be in our shoot house going through the room clearing training. The other one, the live-fire shooting drills, what good is having the gun if you don't get to shoot it, right? So we have many scenarios, different types of scenarios of shooting at a target, shooting at a target with speed, shooting at multiple targets, shooting at multiple targets on the move, doing multiple targets on the move while reloading, all sorts of scenarios. So it's an action-packed day. I highly recommend it. And if you're interested, you just give us a call or sign up on the website, aaronsgunshop.com, and go to the High Cap Adventure page. But right now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to scoot Jeff in here. A good friend of mine is taking the class. Jeff's welcome to the show here. Thanks for coming on. I wanted to ask you a couple of things because you have taken the seminar. First of all, did you have a good time taking the co-ed seminar when you took it?
A great time. A lot of people, a lot of fun, a lot of food.
It's like you have a bonding thing there. Everybody just having a great time. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the food. The food is really good, too. And at lunchtime, we learn about all the things we did in the morning. We're talking about a whole bunch of chatter and people having great things, giving each other tips and so on and so forth. So you had a good time. I wanted to ask you, though, specifically about the room clearing one, because not many people have the opportunity. I got a shoot house, and we use airsoft for our shoot house, and it hurts just enough where it makes you go, I better turn that corner right or I want to get shot. So Jeff, with that scenario and the training that you got from the class, did you still get like an adrenaline rush?
There's definitely a rush. You don't want to get shot by those, as you said. The bad guy knows that room better than I do, okay? The good thing about, if something were to happen in your house, you have two advantages. You know where the guns are, and you know your way around the house. If you don't know your way around your own house at night, you need to learn that. But the adrenaline you get, because you could get shot at any minute by the bad guy in the shoot house. There's a lot of doors, a lot of pathways, a lot of little rooms. I was able to corner the bad guy in that case, and the excitement...
Because of your good training, right?
Of course. I had hours of training with you first, but when I found that bad guy, I unloaded on him, because it's just from the heart, that your blood's pumping,
now,
you find the bad guy.
Since your adrenaline's pumping, I teach this in the class too, these 10 fingers that you have a tendency to turn into 3 fingers on each hand. And if you have to change your mags, because I think we gave you guns that you could change mags, because you only had 7 rounds, or if it was a Glock simulator, you had 14 rounds or something like that. And if you ran out of ammo, you had to change it. Isn't it like not normal as compared to shooting on the range?
It's muscle memory. When you're at the range, you're relaxed. You take your time reloading. When you have an active shooting situation, your brain is focused on just protecting your own life first. And you feel like your hands are numb. You have to have the good muscle memory. You have to have the training.
And then we also get the tunnel vision effect.
Tunnel vision.
You don't hear things anymore. It seems like everything gets quiet, right? So you take all those considerations. If you haven't trained, you'll be at a loss, right? And the other thing, Jeff made a comment about knowing your house, for sure. Know the squeaks, know where furniture is, know all these little tidbits. And what we teach is how to turn those corners, what to look for. Because one of the big things, remember some of the other students, we were telling them, don't print yourself, don't let your ball cap come through the door first, don't let the muzzle of the gun come around the corner, because then the bad guy gets to see where you're coming from. You got to watch your indicators, right? We had sound, rubbing up against the wall, reflective surfaces.
Yeah, bumping against the wall, if it's dark in your house or dark in the location, you bump into the wall, you give your location away.
That's right. And that's why I talked about that guy racking his Glock.
You rack it. Oh, the guy's in his bedroom. He's not even ready for me, but I'm going to go for him.
That's right. All right, look, time is short. I want to ask you one last thing about the round robins. I read that one story from the NRA about how she picked up the bad guy's gun. Remember the round robins, how I had all the guns, all these different guns, and I was showing the common thread through them all. Is that or is that not a super benefit to know, so you can pick up just about anything?
Based off that story alone, it's definitely important to know how other guns work other than just yours.
That's right.
All guns have magazines. They have, most of them have safety. There's a common thing with all handguns, okay? But they're still not all the same.
That's right.
Let's
just take one part of the gun, for example. Different guns have different shaped and different positioned slide stops. And everybody in the round robins, or mostly now, if they've done it a couple times, they don't do this anymore, but they're always looking for the slide stop, which kills 5, 7, 8 seconds on the run. You don't have those seconds to lose. So I teach the common thread of how to get around all those guns, slide stops, and get to that common thread that will get your gun up and ready. So that's cool. So ladies and gentlemen, you got a guy here. Jeff took the class. He just gave you some feedback. Ooh, good class. So you need to go sign up. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the High Cap page, sign up. If we don't have a date set, if you got 5 or more, we'll set up a date for you personally. Or just give us a call, we'll give you some information. But what we're going to do is we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're going to go over a product demo. And I think that one's from Centex Tactical Gear. So we'll be back in just a minute, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, again, welcome to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I'm Matt, your host. And we are live here. We're also streaming live. So if you go to the KTEM website and check us out, you'll be able to see what's going on in studio right now, as well as listen to the program. This segment that I want to go over is our product spotlight, one of our product spotlights. I have awesome friends, and I want to talk to you again about my friends Jessica and Elliot from Centex Tactical Gear on West Adams right here in the city of Temple. They've allowed me to take some more of their products and talk about them. It's always fun to go there. They have a neat store with all sorts of survival gear for police, military, preppers, or anyone who just wants cool stuff. I'm one of those who fits the bill to just about every topic. Go to their website, CentexTacticalGear.com, or just go to their physical location on West Adams there. Now, when you get there, I always say this. I've been saying this for a while now because it's true. Do a zigzag pattern in their store to ensure you see all the products. They've got all these little nooks and crannies, and you don't want to miss a thing. Now, this week, I wanted to go over a few first aid items that everyone should have. And what I've got here on the table in front of me is a field dressing bandage, a quick clot combat gauze, a foam splint, and a ready heat disposable heated blanket. I thought those were all pretty cool. They're really must-have items. These items may sit there for a long time, which in reality is probably a good thing because they're first aid related. But if the time comes when you need these items, it'll be good to have them on hand. So let's go over a few of them here. If you can see this, everybody, this is a bandage. It's primarily like a military bandage. It comes in the green plastic bag sealed so it stays fresh. But if you were to open this up, basically all it is, it's a long cloth, and in the middle of it is a big gauze bandage. And you put the gauze on the wound and you wrap it up. But what's nice about these, you get these at Centex Tactical, the prices are cheap, they're handy, you could buy a whole bunch of them. They're like less than $2 for these things. And you can have them in your bug out bag, you can have them in your car, you can have them in a pocket of a heavy jacket, anything. You just tear it open, it's one of those quick things, fast and furious, you just put it on the wound, try to slow the bleeding, cover it up, keep it clean, okay? So your basic first aid bandage. And they've always got dressing, first aid, field, camouflage. That's the military term for it, okay? Very simple, very easy. The next thing I want to go over is the quick clot combat gauze. This is pretty cool. It's for temporary external use to control traumatic bleeding. And what it is, basically, if you get let's say you get shot and you're bleeding profusely, and you got to stop the bleeding. There's no time. This basically sears it shut. I'm looking on the back here. It says direction for use. Open package and remove combat gauze. Well, that makes a lot of sense, right? Keep the empty package. Continue to apply pressure for 3 minutes or until the bleeding stops. Pack combat gauze into wound and use it to apply pressure directly over bleeding source. More than one combat gauze may be required, so I guess it all depends on how severe the wound is. You want to wrap the bandage to maintain the pressure and then seek medical care immediately. Very important product to have. I would have it nowadays with things happening. You know, we just read that college shooting. I hate to say this, but you might want to carry one of these things in school or something. I don't know, carry one at work. But they're not that expensive. This one here is $8, Centex Tactical Gear. .com. I'm sure they got it online. This next product is pretty cool. I had this one used on me. It's a SAM split, military version. This is what the package looks like, and this is what it looks like when it's out of the package. And what it is, it's a stiff foamed splint, and you can actually shape it to the fashion that you need. One time I thought I broke my arm, and a good friend of mine came and used one of these and wrapped my arm up and wrapped it around my arm so my hand could not move, my arm could not move until we figured out what was going on. And on the package here, it shows a few different ways that you can use this splint for more strength. They've got the basic curve, the C curve. It just looks like a piece of PVC pipe cut in half. However, it's out of this foam material. You put your arm in there, and this way your arm is immobilized. They also have the reverse curve, the reverse C curve, I mean. It's the same thing I just explained to you, except the edges are folded down, so you've got like two folds to give more strength on the splint. And then the T curve is the most durable. It is basically folding it in half the long ways and then bending over the sides, making a T form out of it and resting your arm on top of that. There's other things you can use it for too, but this is a pretty neat product to have. It's lightweight, It immobilizes the arm very well, and it's one of those things that you really should have. Now, this last item I want to go to, and this one here, let me see what the price is on this one. This one here open was $5. For a splint, that's nothing. Go to SentexTacticalGear.com, check it out. This last item here is pretty cool. It's the Ready Heat 4-panel heated disposable blanket. I don't know if you can see that there. But if you're in a cold environment and something bad's happening, you need to get some heat, this thing, all you got to do, I'm going to read the instructions just to give you an idea. It's up to 8 hours of heat. I'm not really going to read all the instructions, but it says basically allow 15 to 30 minutes for the blanket to heat up. So as soon as you open it up, it starts to heat up. It can actually reach up to a temperature of 125 degrees Fahrenheit. So you don't want to use it while you're sleeping, and you don't want to keep it on exposed skin. So this thing is for emergencies when it's really cold out there. We've got to heat somebody up. And if you don't have a fire source or whatever, just open this thing up, wrap them up, keep them warm, and keep an eye on them. So there you go. You got some great products from Sentex Tactical Gear in Temple on West Adams. Go to their website and check them out, SentexTacticalGear.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to move on to our next segment. It's a topic of interest. And this one's a pretty action-packed segment due to the fact we got so much going on next week. So let me read my notes because I don't want to miss a lick here. This topic is actually talking about what's going on next weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Here's what's happening. First, I'll tell you everything that's going on and I'll wrap it all together. Number one, there will be a Lone Star Gun Show at the Bell County Expo Center on Saturday the 10th and the 11th at the Bell County Expo Center. Two, I'll be doing a show live there from the gun show. This show here live will be being done at the gun show. My good friends from Blackjack Firearms and Sentex Tactical Gear will be there too. My special guest on the show, which I'll promote at the end of the show too, will be Justin Noakes. He is the Director of Emergency Preparedness at HEB. They got their stuff going on, ladies and gentlemen. So we're going to be talking to him at the show. He's going to have a lot of information to give out. Also, a cameo appearance, cameo appearance from C.J. Grisham, founder of Open Carry Texas and now running for the state Senate. And number six and big time is our special celebration of Open Carry 2016 with the High Cap Adventures 2016 Open Carry Calendar. The High Cap girls will be in the aisles selling calendars to those wanting to celebrate the new carry law. So let me give you some details on the gun show first. Saturday and Sunday, the 10th and the 11th. I think Saturday opens up at 9, closes at 5 or 6. Sunday it opens up at 10 and ends at 4 or 5. I think the entry fee or the door cost, I think, is $7 per person. It's $7 or $8 per person. Now, I decided to do the live show from the gun show because I don't think anyone has done that around here before. And if they have or whatever, I haven't heard about it, but I wanted to be the first one who did it. Also, there's going to be much going on there, so I wanted to cover it as it was happening. Now, my friends from Blackjack Firearms and Sentex Tactical Gear and I, we're going to be all gathered at the same table, on the same row. We're going to have like 10 tables there. And it's going to be in the far corner. I believe it's going to be about aisle 9, if I was told correctly. So everyone can meet us there, and we can all meet you there as well. So it'd be nice and convenient. Hopefully you'll come on by, say hello, say hi to the girls, say hi to me, say hi to Sentex Tactical and Blackjack Firearms. My special guest from HEB, he's going to be making a special trip up from San Antonio just to do the radio show. So I thought instead of sitting here in this stuffy studio room, why not bring him out amongst the people? Justin Noakes will be talking about preparedness, so what better place to do it than a gun show? But ladies and gentlemen, it's super exciting what we're doing because the calendar, I just had this idea like, hey, let's celebrate open carry. I've been talking to CJ and I know all the stuff that's going on, campus carry, open carry, and I just wanted to celebrate it. So we came up with this idea and we have a lot of great people involved with this program. But now let me tell you about CJ Grisham though, before I get into the other stuff. He would have loved to have been at the gun show at the time of the radio show, but he's doing a bike ride with his son, so he'll be showing up around 2 p.m. that day if there's no complications. So if you want to meet the man who started it when it comes to the open carry, come Saturday to the show, and hopefully he'll be there on schedule. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to get back to the calendar again, and I want to explain to you, it's a crazy idea because we had very little time to do it. So I wrote down some notes here because I didn't want to miss anything and tell you about how it worked out. I've got a friend of mine who's a photographer, And I asked this person, can you take pictures of the ladies in positions of holding open carry type of guns? And she couldn't do it. She was booked. Well, one of my consultants, Jerry, one of my consultants, she knows my photographer friend and knew she couldn't do it. So Jerry just jumped up and volunteered and with her photo skills, her leadership, and her ability to make things happen and organized the photo shoot and got the project done on time and on budget. So major thanks to Jerry Ann for getting that done. And in less than 2 weeks, she put together a fun, interesting, and celebratory calendar that next week you'll be able to purchase. Or you can pre-order yours now at theaaronsgunshop.com and go to the radio page and just scroll down to the bottom there. We've got it there. Right now, they're $20 pre-order. They'll be $25 at the gun show. And I want to thank all the ladies who participated in the calendar, too. They took time out of their days, got paid nothing, worked under stressful conditions, yet came together to make this calendar possible. And some of the ladies will be at the gun show as well, walking around, selling the calendars, and signing them if you wish. So make sure to get out there before they sell out. So ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. You've got next week is action-packed, so it's going to be a fun, interesting day. So I hope that you come on out, check it out, and see what all is going on. And don't forget, ladies, when you go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com, go ahead and like us on Facebook. And for up-to-date events and class information, facebook.com/aaronsgunshop. Okay, so go ahead and check that out. Like us on Facebook, and we'll appreciate that with the numbers. All right, let's move on. I'm going to go to another product demo here from Blackjack Firearms. I was talking to John from Blackjack Firearms about magazines. Or actually, he brought it up to me because we were discussing. And I was saying, hey, John, what do you got now? He said, hey, man, did you ever talk about magazines? You've been talking about all these other parts of the rifle, the handguard, the pistol grip, sling adapter, and then the rear stock. How about magazines? I go, hey, great idea. So he brought a whole bunch of magazines over. And he's a major traveler. It's very hard to pin him down and talk to him to get some details and notes on it. So he came to the shop yesterday, brought the magazines, but we didn't have enough details. So he went back home and he actually wrote me an email. So I'm just going to read what he wrote to me concerning these mags. And then maybe, Jeff, I'll get you to hand me that box in just a minute to help me out with those mags. But this is from John Ferguson, one of the owners of Blackjack Firearms. He says, today we're going to discuss magazines for the AR platform. When Eugene Stoner first designed the AR rifle, he envisioned the magazine as aluminum, lightweight, and disposable. For the last 50 years, the military has stuck with this idea and are still using cheap aluminum magazines. But there are other options out there. Why is the magazine important? Most malfunctions when using quality ammunition are traced back to bad magazines. Magazines have four main parts: the body, the base, the spring, and the follower. Magazines come in three materials: aluminum, steel, and polymer. Each has benefits and disadvantages. Aluminum magazines are lightweight, inexpensive, and plentiful. They are, however, fairly easily damaged. They can be dented and the feed lips can be bent. Both of these situations make the magazines inoperable. Steel magazines are heavier, generally the most expensive magazines, and are the rarest magazines. However, the HK magazine is generally considered to be the best AR magazine on the market and is also the most expensive. The polymer magazines are a little heavier than the aluminum, but more durable. Polymer magazines are generally fatter than aluminum or steel magazines, so they may not fall free of your magwell like the metal magazines do. Now, Lancer Weapons makes a fine hybrid magazine. The magazine has a translucent polymer body and steel lips. This makes the magazine very durable. The translucent body allows you to easily see the rounds in your magazine so you can always know how many rounds you have left. Magpul, ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking here myself, is a lot of the products that we've been showing the last few weeks when it comes to Blackjack firearms for the handguard, pistol grip, and stock. So here we come now with the magazines. Back to John's letter. Magpul makes the most popular polymer magazine on the market, the P-Mag. The P-Mags can be purchased with or without a window on the sides. The window allows you to keep track of the rounds in your magazine. P-Mags are currently available in Gen 2 and Gen 3 configurations. The Gen 3 magazines have a narrower base than the Gen 2, making them easier to fit into the AR magazine pouches. They also have redesigned bodies with a better grip and come with a dust cover. And this is pretty cool to know, too. I just thought the dust cover was the dust cover. The dust cover not only keeps the dirt out of the magazine, but also keeps the top round in the magazine from putting pressure on the lips of the magazine, allowing you to store the magazines loaded without worrying about the pressure of the rounds cracking your magazines. The P-Mags come in 10, 20, 30, and 40 round capacities and are available in black, flat dark earth, OD green, and sand colors. Magpul and several other companies use non-tilt followers in their magazines. It is recommended that you use only non-tilt followers and make sure your magazines use top quality springs. Now, all these magazines and more are sold by Blackjack Firearms and will be available at the Belt and Gun Show on the 10th and the 11th of October. Now, the no followers, the no-tip followers, very important. They had they have longer legs to them, so it enables them to stay straight in the magazine as compared to tilting, causing a potential malfunction. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was an email that was sent to me from John of Blackjack Firearms. He's going to be at the gun show with us at the radio show on October 10th. And he'll be there on the 11th as well. But I've got right here, I'm going to show real quick, I got an extra minute or two to show, but I got a whole box of magazines, and you're probably not going to be able to tell much from where I'm sitting. But these two right here, the grayish colored one is your standard looking AR magazine that the military gives out. An aluminum mag, grayish in color, and that's the most common, and they consider it disposable. This next one here is the actual metal magazine. 25 round stainless steel black Marlboro gray follower, okay? A lot sturdier and stronger than the other one, but it's probably more expensive than the cheap aluminum ones that the military use. Then we have Gen 2 P-Mags. And what's nice about the P-Mags, they come with a window or they come without a window. These are the ones that John was saying had the fatter butt plates, and it makes it a little bit difficult to store two in a mag pouch. But these are the difference, and these don't come with the dust covers. They're 30 rounders. The next one here is the Lancer that we had discussed. The Lancer has a clear window that you can see. You can see all the rounds in the magazine. It's got a bunch of stippling on it for better grips, and it's made out of a polymer as well, and the prices are probably around $20 or so. When it comes to the Generation 3 P-Mags, like we had discussed, they've got the smaller base that you can double stack two mags together that would fit in a standard mag pouch because the bottom plates are a lot thinner. They also have the dust cover that goes on, and will come in 10, 20, 30, and 40 round mag capacities. So, ladies and gentlemen, Blackjack Firearms, they got it going. Go to bjfirearms.biz to check it out. They've got all that. And don't forget to go to the show next Saturday and Sunday. They'll be there. We'll be doing the show live, normal times, but the show opens up right around 9 o'clock. Very good with that. Now, I want to get into this gun training demo. Indexing. I had mentioned this before last week. We were discussing reloads, emergency reloads and tactical reloads, and I had made mention of the term indexing, and I also taught that class a long time ago on this show way in the beginning, but I'm going to do it again. Indexing has to refer to the ability to see the weapon in your line of sight so that in an instant you can get it back on target and be able to shoot the gun. So we're going to start step by step. I am a left-handed shooter. The gun will be in my left hand. This is a toy gun. It's got the red line on it, but I'm still going to check the mag. There's nothing in it, and this is a dummy slide. The gun is secure, okay? The gun now is in my shooting hand. I'm going to do a mag change, but I have to make sure one other thing. There's people out there who may have the gun in their left hand but have a dominant right eye, or people have the gun in their right hand and they have a dominant left eye. We want to make sure that the gun hand has a dominant eye to match it. So, for example, if I'm a left-handed shooter, my left eye is the dominant eye. If you can see in the screen here, I'm going to try to explain it to you listening. I'm looking at the screen right now, and there's my line of sight, and what comes in my line of sight is the muzzle of the gun. My weak eye is my right eye, and the magazine well lines up in line with my weak eye. So if I bring the gun up to my face, you'll notice that the barrel is on my dominant eye, and the mag well is on my weak eye. So as I'm doing a mag change and I'm flipping out the mag, I've always got the gun in my line of sight. I'm taking out the extra mag and I'm still able to see the target. I still see the tip of the gun and I have a reference point. I see the mag well and I insert the mag into the mag well and I'm ready to go. And as I bring the gun around, I'm still in my line of sight and I can take the shot. It's so vitally important to learn that technique of indexing. Now there's different positions to put it closer to your body, further out from your body. Some people, excuse me, like to have the gun facing up and down. I like to have mine sideways. For two reasons. One, I not only index my dominant eye, I index my non-dominant eye on the well. So I've got 2 points here. The other one is, I feel I can get the magazine in much easier coming in from the side than coming up from the top, because I may just miss the gun. I like to see it and put my finger to the palm of my hand. There it is, and it's in the gun. So indexing is extremely important. If you have cross-eye dominance, if you have cross-eye dominance, it may cause a little bit of a problem. And what I do is I always work through the problems. We find out, hey, it's not, this technique is not working for you. We find out why, and then we come up with a solution to figure it out to help you out. So look, once again, indexing, very important. Indexing is putting the gun in the line of your sight as you're doing a mag change. It helps to keep the gun between you and the threat for quicker sight acquisition, and it's a reference point to put the mag into the gun. So that's indexing, ladies and gentlemen. If you have questions on that, feel free to give us a call, go to the website, sign up for a class. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got time to do this, and I'm going to do it. This is a little bit stale, but its effectiveness, it's stale on the date, but on its effectiveness of what it is, it's still powerful. We're going to do a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment. And what this is from, I read an article here from the September 2nd, 2015 paper. It's titled, West Point Professor Called Legal Scholars Treasonous Resigns. A West Point professor who called legal scholars treasonous resigns. Here's the story. A West Point professor criticized writing an article calling some legal scholars treasonous and lawful targets for the U.S. military in its war on terrorism has resigned a month after he was hired to teach the law course. A spokesman at the U.S. Military Academy said William C. Bradford resigned Sunday. He said no further details will be released because of privacy and legal constraints. In an article published this spring in the National Security Law Journal, Bradford said legal scholars who criticize U.S. tactics in the war on terror are helping the Islamic State group undermine America. He argued that these academics should be considered enemy combatants in charge of treason and supporting terrorism. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things I hold dear is my freedom of speech. And as much as I don't like our country and our way of life being criticized by anyone or any country or whatever, I wore a uniform to fight and die if necessary to uphold and protect the right and the other rights too. For this guy to say that U.S. citizens should become lawful targets for their opinions, I say Professor William C. Bradford should be taken away in shackles for wanting to take away my right of freedom of speech. Know your rights, everyone. If you don't know them, you won't use them. If you don't use them, you will lose them. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a lot going on next week. I want to reiterate to you what is happening next Saturday. Next Saturday is the Lone Star Gun Show at the Bell County Expo Center. It starts at 9 o'clock. It's 9 or 10 o'clock. Pretty sure it's 9 o'clock. The radio show will be done live there at the gun show, and the normal times will be there. It'll be from 12:30 to 1:30. While there, we're going to have special guests. We're going to have Justin Noakes coming from HEB. He's the director of the National Preparedness Department there at HEB. He's got a whole bunch of information that he's going to be giving to us. Hopefully, C.J. Grisham will be back in time. If he can make the radio show, that's great. If not, he told me he might be able to make it there right around 1 to 2 o'clock, if everything goes well. Also, we're going to have our good friends Blackjack Firearms and Centex Tactical Gear going to be at the same row that we're doing the radio show. We're going to be, I think it's going to be row 9 towards the back. As you walk into the building, it'll be towards the back right or back left, depending on how you're looking at it. But we'll be about aisle 9. We'll be all be together. And another big thing we're going to be doing is we're going to be celebrating 2016 Open Carry with the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program 2016 Open Carry Calendar. And we're going to have some lovely ladies in the calendar showing beautiful guns too. And that helps support the radio show, everybody. So if you've got time to go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com, you can go to the radio page and scroll down to the bottom there and pre-order. The pre-orders are $20. If you pre-order and say you'll pick up at the show, we won't charge you any shipping. If we have to ship it out there, it'll be a $6 shipping charge. If you come to the show, it'll be $25 for the calendar. And we'll have some lovely ladies there signing in there. They'll find their picture in the calendar if you like, and they can sign their name there, and you can meet them. You can meet everybody from Blackjack Firearms, Centex Tactical Gear. You can meet me in person. I'd love to meet you all. So I want to make sure that you remember, next Saturday, set your time available, open up your calendars, and come on out there. We're going to have a good time. So ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're probably going to wrap up the show pretty quick here. But next week, once again, we're going to the highlights will be that I just told you about, all the events happening at the gun show. We'll probably do some live product demos right then and there. Maybe I could do a gun demonstration. It all depends on what's happening because it may be kind of chaotic. But it's okay. That's how I like it. It makes it a lot of fun. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, we're going to sign off early here. I'm going to tell you to keep your powder dry. Follow your dreams. And God bless each and every one of you. And we'll see you next week. Take care.